You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you, Leland. This song we usually call the special, and that's why you hear some of us sometimes saying to each other, enjoyed your special. They're not necessarily special, they're just a different song. But this one is one that a lot of our rec room people know. We learned it from a guy that I got it from Leland. And he had a CD that this guy had made, and a fellow that was down in the big house was out by the cemetery and noticed all of the white markers on the graves out there at the cemetery just had people's numbers on them. There were no names. Well, a lot of you probably have been there and seen that. But you know what? This guy got the idea that it doesn't matter. If they don't have anything but my number out there, nobody else may know, but Jesus knows who I am, and I don't care what they think out there. Listen, people love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you, gave his life for you, and we want you to know that. If you know this song, you're welcome to join right in with us. We probably don't sing it often enough. We have quite a turnover here at the rec room. But it's a good song for you to learn and a good song to remember. If you don't know it already, you'll probably pick it up by the time we finish the first verse and first chorus. So join with us on the end of it. It's kind of a repeat, but it's a really neat song. It's got a real cool little rhythm to it.
Some mistakes in my life. Now I'm reaping what I have sown. Doing my time with all the rest, awaiting on my parole. Though I've been locked up, I've still been free by the blood of the precious Lamb. When Jesus came in, he forgave my sin, and he knows who I am. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. I may spend my life behind these bars, but Jesus has loosed my chains. Oh, I've been locked up. There we go. By the blood of the precious Lamb. They may know my Jesus knows my name. Yeah. One more time. And when a sinner repents of his sin, and he calls on the name of the Lord, his name is written in the book of life as the angels all rejoice. Made some mistakes in your life, now you're reaping what you have sown. If you're doing your time with all the rest, just waiting on your parole.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book Amos. If you don't have one and would like to have one, Bible that is, if you lift your hand, we've got some people that will bring you one. Okay, we've got some hands up. Now, the book of Amos is kind of hard to find. It is for me. So you go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and then Amos. Joel, Amos. Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Amos chapter 7. Looking for that. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you just keep that one as our gift to you tonight from the rec room. We have been thoroughly blessed with people helping us with Bibles. And we'll do our best to try to get them out and use every one of them. So now, if you don't want to keep that Bible tonight, you're just using it while you're here, please don't leave it where you're sitting. If you will put it on that table back at the back, that will help us get them all together so we'll have some to use for next week. Anybody in here know what this is? Well, I know. Yeah, okay, anybody? I've got about two hands up. Okay, yeah, all right. I come over here today. This thing is kind of heavy, and I was thinking about holding it over here, and I said, sure as I do, it'll swing and break that glass. And then Johnny throw me out, and I won't ever get to come back. So, this is a plumb line. This is called a plummet or a plumb bob. We don't see these much anymore, but every building over 30, 40 years old in the United States was built with one of these to keep it straight. There's two or three things about it. It always hangs straight. You can never slant it. It never is crooked. And you can't throw it up and try to build up to it. It only goes one direction. It hangs down. It will be straight. And you have to do it from, get it straight from top to bottom. This is how every building was set up. Now we have some special kind of levels where we can level them some other ways. Still some people use these, I've been told, in masonry a lot. So, three things about this. It's always straight. It never works this way. If you tried to work it this way, it just... And it's... Like I said, you can't throw it up and get a bead on anything. Now then, I want you to notice what God said about this in Amos 7. Verse 7 said, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand, doing just what I was doing. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I'll not again pass them by them any more. Notice God's got a plumb line. He said, what have I got here, Amos? And he said, you got a plumb line. Amos was just a sharecropper, as it were. He said, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a prophet's son. He was just an ordinary guy that God called to deliver his message. He had no credentials other than just keeping the farm, as it were. But he said, Amos, you see this? Here's my plumb line. And God has got a plumb line. And like the regular plumb line, and the three things that I told you about the plumb line is the same three things about God. God's plumb line is always straight. You remember when John the Baptist came He came fulfilling prophecy. Isaiah and Malachi had said that he would come and make their paths straight. Wasn't going to be crooked. Do you know that everything since the fall on this earth, that there's nothing straight? There's not a limb straight. There's nothing that is straight. Man has to make it straight. We have to go in there and level it out and make it that way. Nothing is straight. God said, I have his plumb line. And God's plumb line, just like the one that he had, the one that Amos knew that was a building tool, he said, here's my plumb line. I'm putting it against Israel. Is it straight or not? He puts his plumb line up against us. Are we straight or not? See, we're going to, please believe me, but it's not God as you understand him, folks. It's God as he is. Now, for years, I kind of liked that term because, I understood him at times as an old grandpa. Let me get back to anything. Surely God's going to forget this. As many sorry people as there were in this world, why would God pick on me? I can look out here and name a whole bunch of you that's worse than I am. I think most of this crowd just worse than I am. See? And I bet most of you think this crowd's worse than you are. See? But God's got a straight plumb line. That's what we're up against. See, I don't have to go against Johnny. Because it's not going to be between me and Johnny or between me and Doug. And if it was, I'd probably win. But see, we keep saying, well, hey, I'm not as bad as old so-and-so. How many times you been down, Craig? Okay, see, a bunch of you say, well, hey, I've only been down once. I've only been down twice. I've only been down three times. No, I'm not as bad as some other people I know. You remember the publican and the Pharisee come up, and the Pharisee started telling all the things he didn't do, and then he started telling the religious things he didn't. He said, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. Okay. But God said, when he put that plumb line out there, he said, that guy that you're so much better of, he goes to heaven, you get to go to hell. See? God's plumb, not our plumb line. It's God's got the plumb line. He's the one that holds the other end of it. God's plumb line, like the plumb line, just works on vertical things. Heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. The Bible said that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. God sent his Son. Bible said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The plumb line comes from heaven to earth. It comes from the top to the bottom. Doesn't start. All religion starts down here. Religion starts with man. Back when I was in college, they don't do this anymore. They've taken a lot of fun out of life. But colleges used to have hazing of freshmen. And one of the things that they would do was they would get a kid, because all the freshmen would usually be from some other town, they're new at school, they can't even find their room, let alone downtown or out in the country. And they would take them out at night, blindfolded. And they'd take them out in the darkest part of the country and turn them loose. And let them try to find their way home. They'd let them take off the blindfold then. And that was called the freshman walk. Nearly every university and college had their type of freshman walk. They put different things to it. One of situation I heard of that I thought was really interesting, they took this kid out And they took all of his clothes and put him in a devil's uniform and left him. Now, all he's got on is a red devil's uniform. He's got horns and a forked tail, and he doesn't know where he is. He's out in the country. It's pitch black. And he starts walking, and he sees some lights, so he heads toward those lights. When he gets there, it's a old-fashioned country church. And he stands outside and looks in, and this preacher is preaching, man. I mean, he is laying it on. And he doesn't look like he's going to stop anytime soon. And this kid is getting colder by the minute. He doesn't have a coat. And it's in that fall, and it gets colder at night. And finally, he's trying to scope everything out. And he noticed that in the back of the church, there's this great big stove. One of them big old wooden stove, big old big-bellied stoves like they used to have. And he thought, if I just sneak in and get behind that, I stay warm. And then when everything's over, I'll find out where town is, get somebody to take me into town. Forgetting that he's in a devil's costume. And so he tries the time, and they're all intently listening to this preacher, and this preacher's beating on that pulpit, and man, and walking and talking, and he looks back, and in the back door comes the devil. And you can just imagine, now nobody can see in this but the preacher. And it had a side door like we have here, and that Bible went straight up, and that preacher went straight to the right. And he is out that side door. Well, and of course, everybody turns to look, and there's the devil. And it wasn't a double door like these. The side door wasn't. And there was one lady that we just say she's pleasantly plump, who could not get through the side door. Only way she can go is through the back double door. Back by the stove, back by the devil. And she starts back out of the way, and this kid is so embarrassed at first, and he thought, well, I'm in this much trouble, I might as well have a little fun out of it. So about the time she got to the door, he jumped out and pointed his finger at her. And she said, Mr. Devil, Mr. Devil, Mr. Devil, said, listen, I've been a member of this church 35 years, but I've been on your side all the time. You got church members like... Yeah. See, we start down here. God starts here. He had to send somebody from heaven to get us there. There wasn't anybody down here that could get us there. Wasn't anything we could do down here to get us there. God's plumb line always works from top to bottom. It works on vertical things. Religion starts with Christianity. Starts with man, and Christians start, God so loved the world. We know that verse. We said it so many times that sometimes you say, well, that's redundant. But think about it. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody that believed in Him, didn't say anybody that could climb that vertical line. Not anybody that could control that plumb line, but God said, here's the straight line, straight to us. He came to seek and to save. That's the only reason Jesus came. His motive was love, but the reason was to get people to heaven. See, if you don't go to heaven, Christ's heart's broke. That's why He came. We got folks in here tonight that know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But in the back of their mind, they're just afraid that they can't do it. They're just afraid. They've seen so many hypocrites in the church that they say, well, man, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to tell you something, you will be. See? Because everybody in here has already lied to yourself. You've already done things you said you'd never do. We do that. But let me tell you, see, that's why Jesus came. If you could do it, if you could just do it, then we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. There are people in here that you know you're sinful. We get burdened for sin. Let me tell you, that there was time in my life that I walked down that aisle. I knew I was so rotten and so sinful. And I wanted to straighten up and quit. And I've been in the water, I was baptized, I've joined the church, and still stayed the same old Leland. Because within a week, 2 weeks, maybe not even a week, those sins that had burdened me are right back in my life. Let me tell you, salvation is not being burdened for sin. See, every one of us said, man, I wished I hadn't done that. I sit with people every week that hold their head in hand and said, I don't know why I did that. I wished I hadn't done that. I'm sorry that I did that. But that won't get you to heaven. See, there's not any belief into that. The Bible said, he that believeth on him should not perish. And I can remember time and again my sins. And one night, nearly 20 years old, it dawned on me that Jesus Christ had paid my debt. It wasn't a matter of me stop sinning. It's a matter of me turning my life over to Jesus Christ. And He paid for my debt. See, I was trying to control the plumb line. I'm trying to make it go this way or that way or maybe up that way. I know I'm a sinner. I would never argue that with you. But I didn't know that I need to turn it over to Christ. I can remember when it dawned on me, when somehow those scriptures got through. And by the way, it was a scripture that got through. It was a little crippled guy that lived across the hall from me. He had polio. Most of you don't even know what polio is because you got a polio shot when you was a baby and never had the fear of it. But I can remember when polio was one of the most fearful things there was for kids. And Bob had had polio. And Bob had surrendered to preach. And Bob walked like this and carried one hand like this. And Bob was the happiest person I'd ever seen. And I said, that's not right. Why isn't he miserable? I'm on football scholarship. Bob is waiting tables to try to go to school, dragging his foot. Bob's not getting much help from home. I got a car and dating a cheerleader. And Bob, I've never had a date. And Bob would come over. And we're sitting there playing poker. And Bob would say, I'm going down. Would y'all like a Coke or something? Could I get you guys something? And I'm thinking, what is making this guy tick? He's up to something. I know he's up to something. And one night I came in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd got some bad grapes or something, and Bob is in the hall, and I corner Bob to explain to him some theology. What an idiot. And Bob never argued. You know what Bob did? He played dirty. He quoted scripture. He quoted scripture. It's not right. Fight like a man, Bob. Debate me. And here he's quoting scripture. It's not fair for you and God both to get on me. Now, and I remember going to bed that night. And also remember not sleeping. Bob gave me one. I mean, he was better than hot coffee getting me sobered up. And for a week, these scriptures. I knew one other guy in the school, and I'm in a where a bunch of preachers are in school. And I knew one other guy that I would talk to that I had some confidence in. And he was waiting tables too, of all things. And I called him over to the side one time, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, a man that lives like I do is going to hell, isn't he? And you know what he did? He quoted the same scriptures Bob had. He just gave me the scripture. And both of them kind of dumbed it out there. Neither one of them claimed on writing it. They just quoting it. So it's not ours. We just quote what God said. And I remember that, Lord, all these years that I've been fighting this sin thing, and I've tried to straighten up, and I wanted to do right, and I was tired of being in trouble. I didn't make it till Christmas in college before they kicked me out of the door and put me on social scholastic probation. I got framed a lot. I sat down and wrote some college, junior college football coaches, and at Kilgore Junior College, they gave me a full scholarship to come to Kilgore Junior College. Got to Kilgore Junior College. The last night I was at Kilgore, last night I was ever at Kilgore, spent it in jail. Coach come down, get me out. I thought, he's probably not going to like me after this. But they changed coaches back at Howard Payne, and he'd been calling. He'd call and said, we want you to come back. I said, I'm not ever coming back. First place. Do you know where I ended up living until I could get out of there to Lynn Smith? I lived at the funeral home. I lived in the basement of the funeral home. It was a perfect picture of the condition of my life. I was dead. In the funeral home. Fit right in. Hi. And I can remember those scriptures. And I said, Lord, you love me enough. You love me enough after all this stuff I've done and the promises I've made you and the failure that I am. You love me enough that you still save me. I don't have to do all of this. You just love me and you're going to save me and you're going to save me forever. You died for me on that cross. I knew Christ died on the cross. I was raised by a good mama. I just thought they killed him. I didn't know he died for me. I didn't know he gave his life that I could go to heaven. And I remember for the first time getting that load and saying, Lord, here goes nothing. Here I am. You got me. I can tell you now, I can't do it. I can tell you now, I'm a failure. I can tell you now, I'm rotten. You know all that. And he covered me up that night to save my rotten hide. Because I quit trying to deal with sin and met my Savior. See, that's why we need a Savior. Oh, we're all so macho. We're going to do it our way. See, you don't do it from the bottom up. The pendulum doesn't hang that way. Top down. God's program. God's plan. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're saved by accepting Christ's payment on the cross, not by realizing we're sinners. Anybody that'll be halfway honest knows that. That's not how we get there. We get to heaven because we know we're sinners, but we have to pay. We accept His payment for our sin on the cross. It's about Christ. It's not about us. All my life had been about me, and my sins. Instead of by Jesus Christ, who came to save my soul. And I said, Lord, I surrender. And I'm going to tell you, The hardest thing for self-sufficient people to do is surrender. We keep fighting to the very end when all it needs is surrender. Lord, I surrender all. I'd surrender this and maybe that, but never all. Lord, I surrender all. Brother Charles, I want you to come. So do we have that song, I Surrender All? We got that. Do we have that, Dolores? Okay. Yeah, I want to sing I Surrender. I want you to stand to your feet. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment while Brother Charles is coming. We'll get that song, I Surrender All to Jesus. I surrender. Well, with our heads bowed, eyes closed now, I want to ask you a question or two. Be honest with me. Nobody's looking around. But you say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you any of those things. Or that you are a member of some religion. But you say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up while heads are bowed, eyes are closed? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you be honest tonight and tell me? Come on. Get your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. God bless you. Put it back down. Somebody else, real quickly. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Where are you? Yeah, I see your hand. Somebody else, real quickly. You can put it down. Anyone else? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Yes, sir, and see yours. Thank you for being honest with me. Now then, we're going to pray. I know there's some others need to lift your hand. But we're going to pray right now. And when I finish praying, and then Brother Charles starts singing, I surrender all, I want you to step out and say, Lord, I know I can't do it. I'm not promising anything. I'm just surrendering. Take me. I can't handle it anymore. I'm turning it over to you. I surrender. Our Father, you've seen the hands. You also know that there's those here that didn't lift their hand for whatever reason. Sometimes it's so hard to admit our failures. We'd like to talk about how we were victors and how we were winners and how we were champions, but the truth of the matter is we got so many failures in our lives. Father, tonight, help us. Just help us to do what you'd have us to do. Help us to surrender. Help us just to bow before you and say, Lord, here it is. Here's my life. Take it. Do what you want to with it. Help give these guys and gals the courage to do that tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come on the very first verse? All to Jesus I surrender. Will you come and trust Him tonight? Come right on.
All to Him.
Oh, come on, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, here's my head right there. Come on, somebody else needs to come right now. Come on.
In His presence daily.
Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever you need to do, you come on.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Others need to come. I surrender. Let's do it.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Come on now. You know God's speaking to you.
All to Jesus.
Come on, yes, sir. Come right over.
I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow worldly pleasures all forsaken.
Come on.
Take me, Jesus. Take
me. You mean business
me
with Him? Come on.
I
surrender all. Would you do that tonight? It'll be the biggest victory you've ever had when you surrender. Come on.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
One more verse, Brother Charles. No one comes, we'll be through. Want to give you ample opportunity.
All to Jesus.
All to Jesus, I surrender. We're not talking about anything but you surrender to Christ.
Make me Savior, holy Thine. Let me feel Your Holy Spirit truly.
Father, thank you for those that came tonight. Father, we need the victory that you can give. I am such a failure. You're such a winner. Father, help us to just day in, day out, surrender to you. Keep trying to do it our way. Father, for those tonight that are still have not trusted you, Father, would you give them another chance? Would you give them another opportunity to come to know you? We pray that you would. Bless those that have come for the different various reasons they came. Help us as we go through this week that we not only surrender tonight, we'd stay surrendered. And every time we start take things over, try to start the plumb line from a wrong end, help us to realize we're surrendered to you. You're calling the shots. Now go with us. Use us to glorify your sons. In his name we ask. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.